Taking Stock on News Talk. Brought to you by PwC. Think change. Think PwC. Think beyond. PwC.ie.
Now, here on Taking Stock, as well as taking a wider view of the present and the future, we also take some time to draw from the past in terms of major financial and economic events. To help us do that, we're joined by Brendan Keenan of the Irish Independent. Brendan, you're very welcome and thanks for joining us.
Not at all.
This week, let's go back to this.
I wish to talk to you this evening about the state of the nation's affairs. And the picture I have to paint is not, unfortunately, a very cheerful one. The figures which are just now becoming available to us show one thing very clearly. As a community, we are living way beyond our means. I don't mean that everyone in the community is living too well. Clearly many are not, and have barely enough to get by. But taking us all together, we have been living at a rate which is simply not justified by the amount of goods and services we are producing. To make up the difference, we have been borrowing enormous amounts of money, borrowing at a rate which just cannot continue. A few simple figures will make this very clear. At home, the government's current income from taxes and all other sources in 1979 fell short of what was needed to pay the running costs of the state by about £520 million. To meet this, and our capital programme, we had to borrow in 1979 over £1,000 million.
40 years ago this month, Brendan, January 1980, then Taoiseach Charles J. Haughey, only a month as Taoiseach after the resignation the month before of Jack Lynch, warning us that we were living beyond our means. We'll come back to the speech itself and all its ramifications in a few moments, but I suppose this speech actually emanated to a large degree from the general election of 1977 and the spending splurge that brought in.
Yeah, it certainly seems to on the figures. And, you know, the budget before that election, Richie Ryan's budget, remains the single most savage budget ever presented to Dáil Éireann. If you add Brian Lenehan's three together, it's worse. But this was all in one package. And it was a response to the borrowing which had arisen because of the oil crisis beginning in 1972. And it was the culmination of a correction programme which had been working in terms of the public finances. They had got the deficit down below 10% of national
income. This was the coalition government under
Liam Cosgrave. Yeah. At the time of the 77 election, it was, as I say, 10% of national income. But by 1980, it was back up to 16%, which was the peak during the oil crisis under the Fianna Fáil government, which famously promised and indeed did abolish rates on domestic houses, among many other things.
Yeah, that election of 1977, it wasn't just that government, guided by Martin O'Donoghue, who went on to become Minister for Economic Planning and Development, it wasn't just that they offered all sorts of sweets, as you put it, to abolish residential rates and car tax. It was that I think about 25% of the population hadn't voted before. There was a huge new young population out there who were really fed up of the austerity period.
Yes, exactly. I think 70% of them voted for Fianna Fáil. So, and they had promised to abolish rates in the 73 election, but they did badly in that election. On the other hand, Martin O'Donoghue, who was a professional economist, his argument was one which we've heard again in recent years. It's the austerity argument. And what he was essentially saying was that if the government spent lots of money, it could get out of the trough and then the thing would roll on automatically. Now, that seems to me not much different from what the American economist Joseph Stiglitz has been saying about how to get over the crash. There's one huge difference, though. He's talking about the United States of America and we're talking about Ireland. And, you know, the academic debate, it goes on still about what's the correct response to a crash. But in America, they reckon that people will always lend them money because they need dollars. But that doesn't apply in Ireland. But Martin O'Donoghue kind of defended the theory behind this to the end of his days. Certainly whatever United States of America, it was never going to work here. And the fact is that it didn't work. The economy grew nicely, but what Martin said was the corollary was that there'd be tight control on other government spending, and there was anything but. And so we ended up, as Mr. Haughey said in that speech, which by any standards, a deficit that couldn't be sustained, 16%.
And added to the propensity of that government, a populist government that poured money into public services and to giving people what they wanted, there were a number of external shocks that it suffered, including the energy crisis that followed the Iranian Revolution, echoes of today, and I think the breaking with sterling and the importing of all sorts of inflation from the UK.
Yes, indeed. Inflation hit 20%. Also, despite the economy doing well, everything else was going very badly. There were 1.5 million days lost to strikes in 1980. There was general unrest. I mean, Martin O'Donoghue would probably say or might have said that if there hadn't been the second oil crisis in 79, it might have worked out in the end. But that produced the infamous stagflation, where prices are going up and the economy is going down. And that's, of course, what they struggled with. I mean, the interesting thing about Mr. Haughey's speech immediately afterwards, what was he at? Did he intend having a prolonged period of what we now call austerity, and he was setting the stage for it? And did he lose his nerve? Or was he just kind of bluffing? Because, of course, and the election came soon afterwards, and he wanted to present a responsible approach. But I suspect myself that, especially with an election looming, he kind of lost his nerve to actually do what he'd said needed to be done.
For those of us who remember the actual speech live, Brendan, it was a major event because Taoiseach hadn't addressed the nation in that way too frequently. And it was also quite short, but stark, a monochrome background, his words, as we heard there, very somberly intoned.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we know about Mr. Haughey is that he knew his stuff, unlike a lot of them. And I think what was absolutely genuine was that he was aware that the country could not continue to borrow 16% of national income each year. One of the interesting things that kind of was pointed out in subsequent analyses, there was no problem at that stage with borrowing the money from the banks. It wasn't that we were kind of forced into it. Obviously, the bailout was the extreme example. The national debt as a total was still relatively low. So he wasn't doing it because it was getting difficult to actually fund the deficit. I think, you know, he was correct, and that was an unsustainable position. It helped him, of course, that it was actually, as we've been saying, the doings of under Jack Lynch. I'm never sure that Jack was entirely happy about it, to tell you the truth. But nevertheless, it was his enemies in the party who'd been responsible for undoing the improvements made under Liam Cosgrave. So he had a free run that way. But you can't argue with his analysis. And he was a damn good communicator too.
That was January 1980, everybody waiting to see what this new Taoiseach, I suppose a political outlaw through most of the 1970s, now Taoiseach, everyone waited to see how he would follow on from his hints of further austerity. And yet that period from January 1980 to November 82, three general elections, minority governments, including one of his own, no chance of any government acting with authority.
Yeah, absolutely. But, why was that? The hunger strikes come in then. I mean, you know, as I say, if one was guessing, one would think that obviously Mr. Haughey wanted to win a majority, and he felt that to do so, he ought to, have a responsible fiscal position as well. And he may have intended going a bit earlier even than June,
1980.
Yeah, but the hunger strikes, started early that year, and they may have cost him a majority. But the budget that he brought in 1980 was pretty severe on the taxation side. It was an austerity budget, particularly hard on the old reliables, especially drink. And it's been a puzzle to me for the last 20 years why on earth drink is regarded as sacrosanct when it comes to raising revenue. I think it's been one of the wee big social and fiscal mistakes of the last 20 years that nobody ever comments upon. But, you know, the pint went up 6 pence at a time when a pint was probably, I don't know, and 16 pence on a measure of whiskey and, you know, petrol. And also, for the first time nearly anywhere, certainly in these islands, there was a duty on soft drinks. But what he didn't get control of or even try very hard to get control of was spending. And we know now, because we know so much about what was going on, that, you know, he was driven not just by ambition, but by financial need to be in office. And so when it came to election time, he could never resist kind of throwing the money about. And in this case, he didn't want to turn off the tap until after the election, and the tap was running, the spending tap was running full pelt.
And of course, this was the ultimate irony that a lot of people had raised questions as to how Charlie Haughey on a TD salary could live the wealthy, extravagant life he was displaying even then, in terms of moving to Kinsale and the horses and all of that. But as he was addressing the nations in nation in those funereal tones to tighten our belts, he was far from tightening his own. He was getting relief from AIB on major debts, and he was beginning to get paid, as the Moriarty Tribunal subsequently declared, beginning to get paid very substantial payments by businessmen and others.
Yeah, that was subsequent, but yes, I think from his point of view, it was a really ill-chosen phrase. He did say as a community. He didn't say, as you know, kind of popular lore already has it, is that people were personally living beyond their debts, but as a community, which was true enough. But we didn't then know the full scale of things. But actually, my memory is him being handbagged by none other than Vincent Brown at a famous press conference when all of this was being discussed, and it went on for quite a long time, as it often does with Vincent's questionings. And but the point was that how could Mr. Haughey explain his lifestyle on a TD salary, essentially, you know? And at one point, seemed only a minor joke at the time, but it's a much, much better joke. At one point, Mr. Haughey said, "Ask my bank manager." In other words, you know, don't be assuming that I'm all that wealthy. Ask my bank manager. Now, little did we know how very true an answer that was, because at that point he owed his bank manager £1 million.
AIB Dame Street.
AIB Dame Street. So he probably enjoyed that little private dig, yeah. And then, as we know, he did a deal with them when he became Taoiseach and paid £750,000. We all know the rest of it. But even before all that came out, which hadn't come out at that time, he was in an awkward position asking for austerity, even from the community as a whole, given his well-known lifestyle. Whether let's suppose he'd been actually genuinely rich, still would be difficult, I think, for a very rich Taoiseach to do that. But especially since nobody knew how he got so rich, it didn't help. But however, when it comes to living beyond your means, right? When it came to the fact that the spending estimates were 56% out in the next budget, it was explained that bulk of it was required, this is the bulk of the overrun, for general and special pay increases in the public sector and for social welfare payments, including the double week payment made to most recipients in December. Now, there is this general always, narrative that somehow it's the government, right, that has got us into these messes. And it's nothing to do with the unfortunate, hard-working citizens. But if you actually look at where the money goes in all of these financial crises, it nearly all goes to the supposedly hard-working, hard-pressed citizens. Unfortunately, most of it goes to a particular subgroup of them, including public sector workers especially. And we're right back in the same not in percentages, but in the same position. The government is struggling very hard to keep to its spending targets, and the two things that are causing it problems are health and pay. And, you know, we've been here not just before, but before and before and before. So the idea that this was all kind of careless politicians, and that would really prefer if they hadn't abolished rates and if they hadn't given us double social welfare and pay increases, you know, we'd all think much better of them. Not entirely plausible.
To misuse a phrase, we get the government some of us deserve. Some salutary warnings and challenges there from the past 40 years ago, when the new Taoiseach of the time, Charles J. Haughey, addressed the nation and warned us that as a community, we were living way beyond our means. We leave it there. That's Brendan Keenan of the Irish Independent. Brendan, thanks indeed for joining us.
Not at all.
Taking Stock on News Talk. Brought to you by PwC. Think change. Think PwC. Think beyond. PwC.ie.